yesterday when you got the news?
I was in the warden's office. I thought he was playing. I told him, "Are you serious? Can you check the computer, because maybe it's a hoax or something." I mean, I've seen some guys escape a couple months back from Florida, and I said, "Man, maybe somebody is playing a game. Can you show me in the computer list? Can we verify this?" And he says, "Yeah, you got a 20-year sentence. It's right here on the BOP website." So I cried and shaked. I'm still shaking. I mean.
Well, Jason, congratulations, and thanks so much for joining us. Jason Hernandez had his sentence commuted by President Obama yesterday. He's been serving life without parole since age 21. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal from WHFR Dearborn, from Henry Ford Community College, our all-volunteer independent station. And today, Dennis, it's a big day. It's our birthday. Yes. Yes, it is. 28 years today we've been broadcasting with only slight gaps for equipment problems.
A blip here and there, sure.
Yeah, and we're beginning our 29th year, so we got to change the big board in here so people know that we made it through. I mean, after the first 28, it's got to be easier, right?
Heck yeah.
No, it never is easier.
Well, we have that 28-year itch, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get better and better. We got some new things coming up in 2014 for you, new programming and new ways to help serve the community. So we hope you're going to stay with us, not only on the WHFR Journal, but also all of our great, unique programming here. Over 110 hours a week of shows that we plan and host and produce ourselves. And the rest is the great live programming via satellite from Classical 24.
And, you know, I hear it all the time. Am I up okay?
Yes.
I can't really hear myself.
Oh, you're
okay.
Turn up your headphones. Okay.
People ask me all the time, hey, how can I be a part of that? And we do have a course. It's called TCM, Telecommunication 189, and it is an 8-week course. So it would be the first half or the second half of a semester. And it's one credit hour. We meet once a week for training for 8 weeks. And after you're done, after you successfully complete the class, you too can be on the radio. So maybe even on the journal.
Yeah, you can find out about the WHFR staff training class at the college website, hfcc.edu. And if you say, well, I'd like to take it for no credit, I'm willing to, pay money. You don't have that adult ed branch anymore of the college, do you? Well, we're working out a deal with... Dearborn Public Schools. Remember, we had Superintendent Whiston on here.
That's
he
right.
got excited. And Susan McGraw, our telecom lead teacher here at Henry Ford Community College and our WHFR general manager, said that they're very close to signing an agreement so that the adult ed program listing will include us at that class over here. But contact Susan McGraw if you'd like to just pay the basic training fee, and it's the same as 1 hour credit at the college, but there's no academic credit required,
right.
And there's less hassle with paperwork. But you have to talk to Susan McGraw or send her an email. The easiest thing to do is scmcgraw. That's at hfcc.edu. So it's her middle initial is C, as in cat.
Okay.
Yeah, S-C, and then M-C, Graw, because it's McGraw is her last name. Got that? G-R-A-W at hfcc.edu. And, we're going on a little break here. Today's the last regular day for classes, for even the buildings to be open at Henry Ford Community College. But she said she'll be checking that over the break, her professional email, and maybe she can get back to you. College, again, will open for registration physically. If you have not ever taken classes here, you have to come by to the Welcome Center to get admitted. Okay, and you got to do that in person. So January 2nd is when that opens up again. And but the classes don't start till the 13th, so there's still a little time, but you know, early bird gets the worm. I wonder, I bet they're not, no, I think we're officially closed. There's no Saturday enrollment tomorrow.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're closed for the holidays starting after today, but I believe that you could still enroll online if you're already admitted.
If you're already, yeah, if you're registered, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's TCM 189, WHFR staff training, 2 hours a week for 8 weeks. And if you get through that, and there is a little work involved, there is some learning.
Yeah,
there is some learning, yeah. And but Dennis passed, so
yeah. But that wasn't the only B I received.
Yeah, well,
it was a B plus. Hey, and if you're a senior citizen, it's special too, right?
Yeah, Dearborn senior citizen, it's free.
That's right, and I don't think we talk about that enough. I think that's huge.
No, I didn't know they were still doing it. But a relative of mine is now signed up for culinary arts.
Awesome.
Although there's not many seniors that ask for that privilege, and some of the people in the Welcome Center gave him a little bit of a runaround because they weren't up to speed.
That's what I'm saying. This is very.
Our own admissions people weren't up to speed about that. But it does. It is a fact, Jack, that if you're a Dearborn senior citizen, you have to pay service fees. You have to pay for books,
right,
and materials. But the tuition is free,
and that's the brunt of the
expense. And then somebody said, "Well, how old do you have to be a senior?" I think it's 65.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying. I doubt they're going to give you. I think the what is it? The seniors organization in the U.S. You can join when you're 50.
Yeah, the
AARP.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's just because they want more money from people planning for retirement.
It is 50. I know, because a friend 50. Of mine just turned 50, and she got something in the mail, and she said, "This is no, I don't want." She did not like that.
Not yet. Yeah.
No.
Well, let's get into the holiday season here. This is our Christmas edition because of the journal. Just a little bit of music here. We're going to toss in, and we'll get back to the big stories of the day. This is one of my favorite ones, and it's from Polar Express. But just a little taste of this, and we won't even go all the way. But let's get into the spirit of the season. WHFR.FM, the station making waves. So I hope you got into the spirit of that. That's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and the song, one of the many songs from Polar Express. I want to say hi to my granddaughter, April, who is in her pajamas today at Cabrini School in Allen Park. They're watching Polar Express. It's a very educational experience, I'm sure.
Followed by Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Today is the last day, yeah, down there for her.
So, no, I mean the movie.
Oh, the movie, yeah. Right.
All okay. Right.
Anyway, so that is one of my version. I love the chorus there. Of course, they're not called the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for nothing, but you can actually understand the lyrics, and they sing all the way through, unlike the movie, which is mostly an instrumental. But anyway, all righty. Let's go into the big stories of the day here. Coming up a little later, we do have Jim Hightower with a couple of Christmas-themed commentaries about the world. So way in advance, maybe you want to give tickets, I don't know, to family and friends for Christmas presents or something. There's going to be a gala, and it's going to be a benefit for the Guido Theater. at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Did you know that the Guido Theater needs some renovation? Did you know that beautiful showplace, which is a part of the $40 million complex over there, they need a new sound system? I'd like to know, how did they burn out their sound system? Did they turn it up too loud? You know, and they need a few other things. Let me see the story. Where's the story? I get the story.
You got it.
Yeah. And it just seemed a little bit unusual, with all due respect. I mean, I love to support the arts, but some of you out there may ask the pertinent question is, I thought they were making money at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Aren't they making enough money that they can afford to upgrade and renovate facilities that need it? We're not talking about an expansion here. We're not talking about an addition.
Hmm.
We're not putting on a second floor.
This isn't upgrades. This is maintenance.
This is just, well, it may, I don't know, maybe slightly better. So I thought I'd go over the story because I know some people say, oh my gosh, the city is, you know, of course the city's not spending money here, but I think it should really, if we have such a nice facility, why don't we spend money? And so it's right on page 3A of last Sunday's paper, and it's also in the Times Herald. Okay, so anyway, the benefit is going to be February 1st, and it's an evening of vocal and instrumental music, theatrical performances, and food. Food.
Has to be food.
Catch your attention. Yeah. Of course, all profits, all the money is going to benefit the Michael A. Guido Theater. And the tickets are $25 in advance, $30 at the door. And the ticket price is a tax-deductible donation.
Of course
it is. So if you do it before the end of the year here and you get that receipt, you could deduct it from your taxes, and some people might get as much as a third discount if you itemize.
Okay.
If you don't itemize, forget it. Anyway, and so you can just go to the theater box office and or apparently their website, Dearborn Theater, that's T-E-R, theater.com. And you can actually get your tickets that way. So that's Saturday night, and they call it Saturday Night Alive.
Oh, geez.
Cute, huh?
Yeah.
And so a lot of nonprofit organizations.
Saturday as in tomorrow?
No. Put it together. No, no, no. Saturday as in February 1st.
Right, that's what I thought.
So it's a long time to plan, but maybe you want your tickets to be tax deductible or something.
Right.
Okay. It says, for more than 12 years now, audiences and performers alike have enjoyed the wonderful acoustics and lighting of shows at the Michael A. Guido Theater, according to Emma Jean Woodyard, a great friend of WHFR, executive director of the Dearborn Community Fund. She says, but improvements, direct quote here, are needed to bring the sound and lighting systems that enhance the sound and visual elements of performances up to date. Now, up to date probably means computer tech,
sure.
I think. I they didn't have too many computers 12 years ago. And I bet some of these touring shows, when they come in, they say, well, just plug into your so-and-so computer-based lighting panel.
Well, technology.
And we say, what computer-based lighting panel?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing is that that's probably part of it, that some of these big touring shows say, you've got to provide this.
That's right.
And they say, well, we've got switches.
No more hamsters on a wheel.
Yeah.
And we're going high-tech now.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm just guessing that there might be some rationale to the upgrades here. And they said their goal is to raise a significant portion of the funds needed to replace the equipment. Now, again, some of it may be new stuff or better stuff than what we have now, but is the center, next time we get the mayor here or somebody, is the center making a profit overall or not? Why can't they afford this? I bet they're upgrading other things, like their swimming pool, things that would be a health issue.
Right.
You know.
That's true. For people that haven't been there, this is a pretty big complex. Not only does it have the entertainment in regard to, you know, theaters. How many theaters? Just the
well, the one big one. And then there's Studio A, which is a multipurpose room, sort
of. Exactly. And then you have an art gallery there. And then you have a whole fitness area, including like a water slide. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very impressive.
A wall to climb.
Exactly.
Like a mountain.
A full court, a basketball court. So there's a lot.
Exercise machine.
Exactly. But I've gone there in the past, and the price tag is a little bit, it was higher than I expected. I may be just cheap. But it was a
for
little
the theater?
No, for the workout area and all that other stuff. I used to take my kids there, and I thought, boy, this is, you know, and of course you can opt for a monthly pass or a yearly family thing. But.
And by the way, people in Dearborn communities can also pay an outsider's fee.
Right.
I don't know how much more, but it's a little more.
Sure.
To also come and use these facilities. In terms of theater prices, well, you know, very few of us could afford prices for live theater in New York. And some of these touring shows, okay, the ticket price is $40, $50, $60 for the best seats. But
right.
that is cheap by New York standards.
Sure.
And some of these productions, these traveling productions, are really, really high in quality. But it's a community theater, too, and there's so many community events that go on there. I really think the money ought to come out of the center's profits, and I thought they were making profit. I mean, they paid off the building.
Right.
They just got done paying off the building, so they don't have to put any money on, like, the mortgage, so to speak. Maybe they need to take out another mortgage or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it works that way.
Another bond fund. I mean, you know, it's worthy of support. I'm all for that. Imogene, don't say I badmouthed the event. I didn't, but I just, you know, tell me why it's not coming out of the basic maintenance and upgrade fund at the for the center. Who said no?
And the logical answer is they don't have enough money, but with the upgrades, they will be able to.
Well, the logical answer is they're not making a profit.
Right.
Or the physical side won't give the money to the theater side.
And that's,
I'd like to know, are the budgets split? Or is it one big budget altogether? Or you can't touch our phys ed money coming in. We get to keep all of that. And then the theater says, likewise, probably,
but
too.
But
if we're making a profit as theater, you can't take any for new exercise machines.
And
but
the fitness,
they shouldn't really do that, folks, I don't think.
No, of course not. And the fitness area is used every day from, let's say, 6 in the morning until at night, whereas the performance area, that region is only used when they have a show. So, no, that wouldn't be fair to have them against each other.
Nonetheless, I just wanted to mention that because it does raise the question, why this is the first gala to benefit the Gatto Theater, and why can't they afford it? Why can't the center afford it? What is the financials of the center? I'd like to know, and maybe it'll come up at the council sometime. Who knows? Okay, moving ahead, briefly, we might have mentioned the Art Space got approval for tax credits. And that's a significant tax credit. It'll pay for about $10 million, as I understand it, out of $15 million they need to renovate the facility for residential space as well as commercial space. Now, commercial space renovations is a separate issue, but apparently they're going to get so much tax credits every year, they can actually get, I don't know, they go to John G. Wentworth or somebody, and they get all the money up front. They use the equity from that. Like, they borrow against 10 years of tax credits.
They sell them.
Yeah, they sell them. Yeah, that's right. And they'll get $10 million to put towards the $15 million now. And they do say, folks, for those of you who say, well, they don't have all the money yet, that's true. The way I read it, they've got about another $8 million altogether they're going to have to raise to make it happen. But the executive director locally of ArtSpace says, we've always, if we've gotten these tax credits at other facilities around the country, they're the 30-some that they have.
Sure.
We always get the rest of the money.
Right. That's the biggest hurdle, is how we put it.
But here you go again. They're going to be looking for local donors, too, to make up the difference. Are they going to have a gala event also at the center?
Different night, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, I mean, every nonprofit needs money. Let's go segue. The Dearborn Animal Shelter, Dennis. They've got an adoption group. They're not raising money directly for their new facility by this event.
No.
But they've got a lot of pets, a lot of wonderful pets. You need an addition to your family and prove to the world that you can be kind to another creature, another living creature. It's a great learning experience for a child of an appropriate age. And the center will match. They have a scientific way to match you, your family, with an appropriate pet. What's the event tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 to 5? 10 Where is it going to be, and what are they going to do, Dennis?
It's at the Friends Training Center, which so it's not at the actual shelter itself. It's at the Friends Training Center, which is 2621 Telegraph Road in Dearborn. It's right next to the Pet Supplies Plus on Telegraph there.
Okay.
Anyway, there's going to be a lot of things going on, and to help encourage adoptions during this particular event, like you said, from 10 to 5 tomorrow, the shelter is offering reduced adoption fees for some of the animals. Adult cats, for example, 6 months or older, are $5 to adopt. And, you know, that includes everything, you know, they take care of all the necessary, the checkup, all the shots. And I think a microchip is included in that as well. And that's for $5 for cats 6 months or older, and adult dogs in the care of the shelter for 31 days or longer, $50 to adopt.
If you had to pay a retail facility And you really shouldn't, because the animal shelter is so well run, and it is a nonprofit, and you can really trust their doctors and their advice, and you're getting the best deal. I mean, really, if you had to pay retail for this, you probably wouldn't. Well, you'd certainly think twice, if not three times, about an adoption. So it's a great deal, and what a great present to another living creature to give it some love and compassion. And it does mean a constant commitment. It's a big deal to have a pet.
And they don't take it lightly there. They do their right. due diligence on the people that want to adopt.
That's right.
So, but if you get one of these older dogs, not only is it, when I say older, I mean it's been in their care for 31 days or longer.
Not a puppy.
No, but it's also one that's been there for a while. It's for $50. Plus, you get a $50 voucher for the first vet visit. Now, I want to tell everybody that the adoption fees include sterilization, microchip, age-appropriate vaccinations, and a lifetime of loyalty, of purring and tail wagging.
That's
you
right.
can't beat that.
Nope. So consider that. The name of the facility is the Friends Training Center.
Yep.
And it's on Telegraph, South Telegraph somewhere?
It would be Telegraph at, right near Oxford.
Okay, yeah. Telegraph in Oxford, and it'll be tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 to 5.
Yeah, and that's on
so
the
go
east
check
side
them
of
out.
Telegraph.
Take your family. Take the kids. Yeah, I know they'll see something, and they'll have to have it.
Oh, they'll trick you, yes.
But that's okay. You know, you can also go to the shelter itself. They're open, I think, some hours tomorrow.
Sure.
I'm not sure what the hours are, but this is a wonderful time of year to do something loving. So with that in mind, the other nonprofit for the weekend, and then we're going to do a Jim Hightower Merry Christmas sort of spot. Maybe a little more music too. The free winter market. That's right. You know, you love the outdoor markets at the Bryant Center from May through early October every year. They're starting indoor market every third Sunday of the month, and they're starting tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. This Sunday, December 22nd, and it'll be from 11 to 4. Now, it's free to get in. It's in the Hubbard Ballroom. You asked about other facilities there.
That's
at the
right.
center, the Hubbard Ballroom at the center. Admission and parking are free at the center. And popular vendors from the summer version will be on hand for the winter market, including those selling edible goods like gourmet chocolate, frozen pasties, hot sauce, and kettle corn. High-quality crafters will also be part of the winter market because they know it's right before Christmas,
you know,
and with some new additions anticipated. Let's see. The visitors will find Pulse Jewelry and Swarovski Crystal Jewelry, Jenna Marie Chocolates, Scotty O'Hottie Hot Sauces.
He's a local guy.
Yeah. Yep. Plus vendors selling teas, scarves, paintings, gourmet cheese and sodas, garden art, photo prints, and more. So it'll be fun, too. Something to do with the family. It's free. Oh, I like this. There'll be sample foods from two local restaurants. One is one of my personal favorites out of many local, is the Thai Eatery Bangkok 96.
Sure.
So Mrs. Vang is going to be there probably, or some of her staff. Bangkok 96, great restaurant out there on Telegraph. It's Thai food, but it's like gourmet Thai. I've never tasted.
Clint Eastwood said so too, didn't he?
Yeah, Clint Eastwood was here. They served food to his whole crew when they were shooting the Ford Torino.
That's right.
Gran Torino movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a Ford, but Gran Torino was the movie they shot here locally. And also Dearborn Heights fast food restaurant, Del Taco.
All right.
So samples. Samples. That means free.
Same thing they did outdoors. I mean, we would have HFCC took part. I remember our culinary department gave
prepared
samples.
Right, but you don't have to fight the wind or...
Good point.
Yeah. So anyway, holiday ideas for gift giving, some real food to buy to stock your shelves, and some jazzy holiday tunes featuring Marty Hegger Jr. That's from 11 to 12 noon. And then pianist and chamber official Wendy Fitcher is playing seasonal music from 1 to 2.
All
so
right.
get there early. Also, guess what? The Henry Ford Community College ice carving team will do live carving. So get out your chainsaws, boys and girls.
Yeah, your hot irons, that's right.
Yeah, watch the ice chips fly.
The shavings, you got it.
That's quite a demonstration. It'll probably be outside doing that. Indoors, it's all going to melt too fast.
And it'll be pretty loud, too.
Yeah, and it is loud, yeah. You won't hear the music. So that'll be fun. It's the winter market right at the center here in Dearborn, the Ford Community Performing Arts Center, this Sunday and every third Sunday through...
like May.
May, probably, yeah. Unless they go live outdoors in May.
Usually it's right before Memorial.
11 to 4.
Right.
Yeah, right before Memorial Day, so it may or may not be indoors during next May. So, and that's, of course, Maureen McElrath, who's been organizing that, especially the winter market, and I hope that succeeds. It's a great opportunity to at least come and browse, and you know, maybe you'll find some ideas for Christmas presents that you haven't found at the all the other stores you've been fighting to get into.
And it's ultra local, which I like.
Okay, here's one Jim Hightower commentary and maybe a little Christmas music to get you in the spirit if you aren't already.
Ah, 'tis the season for family, friends, eggnog, chipmunks singing Christmas carols, and all out no mercy blow 'em all to hell war. Not war like in Afghanistan. No, no, this is the far right's god-awful war on the war on Christmas. In this season of peace on earth, these delusional hucksters are fomenting hatred of, well, of whom? Blasphemous, liberal, democrat, atheist, humanists, they shout, those heathens who actually go around saying happy holidays rather than Merry Christmas, as Jesus taught us to say. Or was it Constantine the Great in the 4th century who came up with that? Never mind, the rightist point is that diabolical lefties, i.e. Marxists, are out to ban Christmas entirely. No less of a heroic defender of the faith than Sarah Palin has even written a thin book about this devious plot, revealing that Happy Holidays is merely, quote, the tip of the spear in a larger battle to make true religious freedom a thing of America's past. Luckily, note the Merry Christmas Crusaders, such bright lights as Governor Rick Perry of Texas are pushing state laws to bypass the silly U.S. Constitution and allow Christian icons and ceremonies into our schools. A creche in every public space is their cry, a cross on every city hall. To hell with Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, the winter solstice, etc. This is war. This is Jim Hightower saying, no, this is hokum, hoodoo, camel dung. It's also insulting that they would attempt to create a fictional piece of religious discrimination, whine that they are a repressed minority, and equate it with war. First, Jews, Muslims, and others don't get to brand public spaces as their religious property. Second, about three-fourths of Americans are Christians, so drop the martyr pose. And third, war really is hell, with blood, lifelong trauma, and death. So stop pretending you're in one.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
I've made this same mistake before. Too many malls, too many stores. December traffic, Christmas rush. It breaks me till I push and shove. Children are crying while mothers are trying to photograph Santa and sleigh. The shopping and buying and standing forever in line. What can I say? I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night.
That was Amy Grant, and yeah, I. When people ask me who my favorite singer is, and I'm not even Christian. I'm not a practicing Christian anyway. I like a lot of the Christian concepts like love and things, but Amy Grant. There's something about the tone of her voice, the timbre of her, whatever it is. It just goes through and through me. I've seen her live in concert a couple times. I've been part of her fan club in my youth, and it's just. Anyway, this is, she normally does things that are more directly religious, but this is like her complaint about this time of year. I need a silent night. I need some peace and quiet for Pete's sake. You know, the hustle bustle of season and, you know, all, even the Christmas music she doesn't complain about specifically because it might be her Christmas music that's played loud volumes. It came out of a franchise Mexican restaurant locally 2 nights ago. And the Christmas music was so loud in the parking lot like you could hear it for 5 miles. I mean, you go out the door, you feel like your ears are going to come off. So somebody jacked it up way up, and
yeah,
since there's nobody out there in the lot, they no. But who are they giving it to anyway? So that's just our thought there. Hope you do have some peace and some quiet, silent nights, some real silent nights that can bring you the peace and togetherness that the season is, I thought, intended for. So just a little touch of that here on the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. And Dennis, what do we have coming up? What would you like to feature next?
Well, I do want to say right now is a great opportunity to tell everyone that the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone here at the college or the station. What I would like to bring up now, I want to talk about something that I think is really cool. You are familiar with STEM, the fields that are part of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And apparently, half the students that get involved in engineering initially don't pass and fulfill the requirements to make it a career. And the thought is that they need more hands-on training. So HFCC, this wonderful college, offers hands-on engineering courses. It's a project called Project Lead the Way. And apparently the retention rates improve considerably for students who have gone through this Project Lead the Way classes. It'll be at the satellite campus in Dearborn Heights, which is, what is that? That's over by Warren Avenue and like Ann Arbor Road, or mm-hmm. Ann Arbor Trail.
Yeah.
And everybody's very excited about this. Go ahead.
It's actually Outer Drive in Ann Arbor Trail.
Yes.
North and Outer Drive.
Exactly.
Ann Arbor Trail sort of slices down.
And Warren's just a little bit north of there. You're right. Yeah. What they want to do is they want to give kids that are interested in this, and they're encouraging, because this is a male-dominated field, they're encouraging young ladies to do this as well at the high school level. This will be for dual enrollment kids, and they can basically test the water. They put their foot in the water, see if this is something for them without committing a lot of money and resources and time to the field. So kudos to this program is wonderful, and kudos to HFCC for getting involved.
Isn't the water frozen this time of year?
Why? What did I say?
To put your toe in.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, boy.
So, no, not yet. But you don't have to wait till spring, folks. They'll have some unfrozen water inside the building. So
that's right.
Yeah, no, that's a great opportunity. Hands-on, I love it.
That's the point, yep.
Yeah, there's nothing like learning stuff in the classroom, and then like WHFR, putting some of those telecommunication lessons in practice, teamwork and technology, it all has to come together. All right. Well, looking down my list here of important stories from the local papers, I wanted to just grab the Wednesday Press and Guide from 2 days ago. Today is the 20th, December 20th, our Christmas show, if you will, just because that's the next major holiday coming up, right? Okay, so we're not advocating Christmas here over anybody else or saying it's superior. But anyway, the post office, you remember them. government, socialization. Original idea of Ben Franklin, though, it was a great idea. In fact, we have one of the lowest postal rates anywhere in the world.
That's right.
In fact, Canada recently... they got some price containment problems. Of course, they got an awful lot of territory where almost nobody lives. I just wonder how many people get their mail dropped from an airplane.
Interesting.
You know, because there's some huge expanses of territory, and now Canada claims most of the Arctic Circle too.
Yeah, let them have
as
it.
Their land.
They
since
have to
the
shovel.
Ice has melted, the Russians say it's our land, and Canada says it's our land. So. Anyway, and like who lives there? Well, a few polar bears used to, but they like ice, and there's not much. Anyway, so and in Canada, they're proposing to eliminate all home delivery.
Okay.
This was passed by the legislature, although there are some complaints.
Sure, you think.
Can you imagine no more home delivery? What would they do? Oh, they're going to set up like a community center. And you have to go there, and I don't know, you got your own postal box with a key?
Probably.
So you get it from there.
Or but they call your name?
They don't go up and down your streets anymore. That's the proposal, because they can't afford that. And they're raising the cost of a first-class letter in Canada, even if they don't do that, to over 90 cents.
Wow.
That's over twice the cost of ours. So however we're doing it, well, of course, we're losing money here, but nonetheless.
Well, we're losing money, but... we still have Saturday service, which is, you know, that was, everybody was contending that for a long time.
Yeah. So I wanted to read this article, and it is on, Dennis, you can come back. Come back, Dennis. Okay. because somebody was at the door and Dennis went out to check it out. And because there's not many people around campus, the final exams are all done and it's all over except reading the grades. Uh-oh. And that's good news for most people anyway. So the new year, I wanted to talk about our postal service. Yeah, there's deadlines for Christmas delivery. And of course, the post office will be closed on Christmas Day and also New Year's Day. But apparently, Priority Mail Express, which will cost you a pretty penny, will be delivered on Christmas Day and New Year's Day.
Okay.
But figure out the cost. I was in the UPS store this morning, just to give fair recognition that there's other mail services. Guy wanted to send a package to get there Tuesday in Florida from Michigan, guaranteed. They said, okay, it's an extra $96 fee.
Yeah.
Over ground. He said, well, ground, it's going to take a week from Monday to get there. I guess I got a lot of packages in line. So he said, well, what about overnight? He said, oh, that's $141 extra.
How bad do you want to
mail? Yeah, that's, you could buy the plane yourself and fly it down there. You know,
but remember, UPS is a private company. It's not a government.
Well, no, the government's hardly giving them any money at all. I mean, they've proven that the amount of mail has declined so much that we really don't need Saturday deliveries in the U.S. I mean, everybody likes it, and it became a political issue, so neither the Republicans nor Democrats wanted to vote against Saturday delivery.
Right.
But would they give them any more money? Would they? No. Our post office is going broke, and not because management hasn't made all these proposals of ways to save money, not just eliminating Saturdays, but and request for more funds, and they don't get it. They don't get it at all, and I feel sorry for them because it is a well-run national organization, and you know, I know we're emailing more and texting more, so there's, but at my house, let me tell you, I get a ton of mail. That's why they come down my street. I get a ton of mail. For me.
You have your own dedicated truck.
I have a big box, especially big box that I bought. It was hard to find one big enough for my daily mail, but I get a lot of magazines.
Sure.
I read, you know. Also, I get those Amazon packages, mm-hmm. which on Sundays now in some part of the country are being delivered by the United States Postal Service.
Good.
Not here, but they're just trying that out before they institute the Amazon drone fleet.
Well, I'm at the post office 3 days a week at least. My wife sells a lot of things on eBay, and I am I can't stress how impressed I am with the service that I've been receiving. This has been going on for a few months now, too.
And yeah, even I think the lines are even a lot shorter, even if you go into a post office.
Yes.
Even this time of year. Well, okay, I'm just saying things are changing. Some of their rates are going up, but it's for the Priority Mail, Express Mail, the legal flat rate and padded flat rate envelopes are going up, and the flat rate boxes and so on. So there are some prices going up, and understandably so. But tomorrow is going to be the busiest day of the year for packages going out tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow. This is from Wednesday. So Thursday was the
yesterday.
Biggest. So today, good luck, folks.
Because
you probably won't make it.
Right. You're assuming it'll get there by Christmas.
Yeah, probably won't. And remember, Christmas is next Wednesday.
Right.
And they don't deliver then. So, I just want to say some nice things about our post office and how they deserve a little more support from our government. And the fact that I think we have, unlike healthcare system, we got one of the best national postal systems in the world. And talk about low cost. It's fantastic. And if we start crippling it, then we'll never get it back. You know, I mean, we've got the organization, we've got all these post offices, we've got all these people, and they all know what they're doing pretty much, and nobody's gone postal recently. So, you know, they must be treating them better somehow.
Postal as a verb? No.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on. I don't know which one I want to do next here. I have an op-ed from Craig Ferrand in the Wednesday paper I definitely want to do. Just plan ahead, folks, because we are already here in the Journal. The Detroit Auto Show, also known as, for the last, I think, 7 years or so, the North American International Auto Show, mm-hmm. or NAAS.
you're supposed to.
Public dates, January 18th to 26th. I always get very mad after I attend because I can never find a place to park my car. I go to a car show and I can't find a place to park my car that's less than a 15-minute freezing cold walk through beautiful downtown Detroit. and because they're all filled up at Kobo and so on, and it's just unbelievable. And I've tried first thing in the morning. Yeah. I've tried like Tuesdays. I've tried, you know, off days, not weekends. I've tried every time, and it's it's horrendous. Well, good for them. Over 50 cars are going to, brand new cars, maybe some are concept cars, are going to be introduced. So cars that nobody has seen yet.
Great.
Now, because Detroit, for a few years, there weren't any new introductions at all. Because they thought, well, people in Detroit have no money to buy anything.
Right.
So why show them? And so they introduced these cars in New York or L.A. So we're back, baby. We're back. We've got 50 new cars introduced, planned in January, that nobody has seen yet.
And their vision is back, because now they're realizing that this is a destination. People are coming here from all over the world to see this show. You know, you don't park Kobo rooftop? I was just curious.
Filled every time I try.
Yeah, I've never had trouble there, but that's, I don't know, just never do.
Yeah, no, I like the rooftop. That would be one of my desired locations, but it's always filled. Or the line to get to the squirrel going up is like a half an hour wait to even get in the spiral that takes you up to the rooftop. So
I like the elevator. Oh, you're talking about driving
my car.
The ramp.
You got to drive the car. And right. I'd rather park and then spend my next 15 minutes walking in the cold than sitting in my car for half an hour before I even get to the lot.
Yeah, that's frustrating. Now, we should tell people that, as we try to do each year during the actual event, during the actual auto show, and I already have calls out to three different editors, three editors from different auto publications in the area. We'll have somebody live if we can, and I think we've done it over the phone in the past. But our choice is to have somebody that's actually gone to the preview day, so they can expound a little bit on what's there.
I have to admit, I'm a car guy. I've got a huge collection of cars. Over 50 cars. They're all models, it's quite a big collection. I just realized now, because it's fantastic. Classic car collection, but they're not real cars because I can't afford them. But over the years, anyway, and most of them are 1 to 18 size, which makes them about a foot long each. So it's big. It takes up two walls in my house. Anyway, getting back to other stories here. That's not till January 18th to the 26th, but plan ahead for that.
We'll definitely remind
Here in Detroit, I just found out, thanks to MLive.com, that there is a Detroit Film Critics Society. Now, New York City has a Film Critics Society. L.A. has a Film Critics Society. And I think Boston does. And once a year, they get together in December in these other locations, and they choose the best films according to them. The best films of the year, according to them. And it turns out that the Detroit Film Critics Society, or DFCS, has given these awards, has had their list for since 2007. So it's either the sixth or the seventh year. And good for them. Okay. Unfortunately, I've got the list somewhere here.
There it is.
I haven't seen any of these. Now, I know Best Actor has gone to Matthew McConaughey. Everybody knows who he is, right? The abs guy. Dallas Buyers Club.
Okay.
So there were some women out of the 20 people in the film critics group.
You're assuming that.
Who swayed the votes there, I think.
Interesting.
But the best picture and the best screenplay went to her.
Not a lady.
Just a movie. Her, the pronoun her. And that's a film by director Spike Jones.
Okay. With a Z.
Yeah. Okay, not the other Spike.
Lee.
No, this is Spike Jones, J-O-N-Z-E. And
could be Jonesy.
Best Ensemble Performance, that's in the theaters now, American Hustle. That's the David O. Russell film with everybody in it, Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence, and all those guys, too. I just remember the women. Best Director, and I think, I'm not sure this is, film is still in the theaters here locally, Alfonso Cuarón, Gravity. That was the space, trapped in space film with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, that's. I know it's. I drove by the Ford Wyoming drive-in, and it's there.
Oh yeah, that's the thing to do in the drive-in.
No, I'm just saying I drove by. This time of year, so it's at the movies. It was playing with Hunger Games, I believe.
But good for Detroit. Who says we're not on the rebound? We've got our own Film Critics Society.
How many people do you think are in it?
They're 20. But and most of them are not from Detroit. No, seriously.
They're from Michigan, though.
Grand Rapids. Yeah, they're all from Michigan.
Good.
But it's called the Detroit Film Critics Society. Okay.
All right.
Moving down. We need Jim Hightower quick. So here's another break on WHFR.FM, our Christmas special. And we got a couple more stories. Yes, we do. So, but take a listen to this other Christmas-related commentary from Jim Hightower.
Here's a twist on Christmas that would make Jesus weep. First, a right-wing faction in the U.S. has been wringing its hands over a hokey cultural crisis cooked up by the faction itself, namely that liberals, atheists, humanists, and, God forbid, Marxists are waging a war on Christmas. The infidels are not accused of lobbing bombs in this war, but words of mass destruction. Specifically, the right-wing purists wail that unholy lefties are perverting the season by saying Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Second, some ultra-conservative members of this same faction have launched their own war against Jesus. How twisted is this? They say no one should mess with the word Christmas, yet they're messing with the guy Christmas is supposed to be about. Okay, technically they're not going directly at Jesus, but at a key part of his message, and in particular at a key messenger of Christianity, Pope Francis. They've decided that the Pope is a Marxist, pointing out that Francis speaks often about the, quote, structural causes of poverty, the idolatry of money, and the new tyranny of unfettered capitalism. Obviously, say the pontiff's pious critics, that's commie talk. The clincher for them was when Francis wrote an official papal document in which he asked in outrage, how can it be that it is not a news item when an elderly homeless person dies of exposure, but it is news when the stock market loses 2 points? See, cried the carpers, that's proof that Francis is the Red Pope. But wait, that was a very good question he asked, one ripe with the moral wrath that Jesus himself frequently showed toward the callous rich and their love of money. Indeed, the Pope's words ring with deep ethics you find in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Was he a commie too? This is Jim Hightower saying, could it be that the carpers are actually the ones lacking in real Christmas spirit?
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
And this is the new WHFR Journal, December 20th, 2013. Well, that was Jim Hightower's opinion. And looking at the Wednesday Press and Guide, both Morris Goodman have great op-eds, that is editorial opinions other than the newspaper's opinions, and Craig Ferrand. Dennis, would you summarize and or feature Craig's comments? Wow, is he hot under the collar here.
I'd like to read it. I could. The headline is, "This latest act by the legislature just reinforces my contempt for the lack of state governance." And that's Craig Ferrand. He says, "Hello, Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. So this is how it's going to be, eh? For years, I've argued that the problems in our nation are not a matter of government working or not working. It's a matter of governance. That those elected or appointed to public office have either forgotten how to govern or don't care to govern responsibly. And given the latest example of gross negligence, I can write with all sincerity that our current state legislature is composed of some of the most despicable individuals ever to carry the mantle of so-called leadership. And yes, I'm talking about the Republicans. But before you think this is mere partisan bashing, read on. Michigan's Constitution allows for an intriguing governing rule. We, the people, can propose laws by collecting sufficient signatures on a petition drive. The legislature then has 40 days to either pass or reject the law, or it then comes up for a public vote at the next general election. Certainly, such grassroots initiatives should make us proud of residents who take such an initiative. But there's no requirement that the legislature enact such proposals. Good governance means weighing the pros and cons. In fact, the Constitution says that if the legislature doesn't act, the people still get a voice. The proposal needs to be put on a state ballot. But leave it to our militant GOP-controlled legislature to jam through yet another piece of legislation without public debate, or decide to take unilateral action in order to prevent a public vote that most certainly would have had a different outcome. In case you missed it, anti-abortion extremists, no abortion for rape, incest, or to save the woman's life, got enough signatures on petitions to block access to women's health care that didn't meet their narrow interpretation of need. The GOP then rammed the legislation through. Remember, it's not beholden to a governor's vote or veto. And soon, 90 days, women will have to buy a separate abortion coverage, even if, one, they don't know if they'll ever be raped or in danger of dying from a pregnancy, and two, whether they'll ever become pregnant, and three, whether they'd ever want to take that step in their lives. Oh, and they can't add the coverage after they're faced with a rape-induced pregnancy. Oddly enough, even though our new health laws prohibit lack of coverage based on a pre-existing condition. He says, I can't wait to hear that argument in the courts. But my complaint isn't about abortion coverage. It's about the process we're witnessing, again, led by the Republican Party minority rules. Yes, I know the GOP is the majority in both cases of the legislature, but at every turn, the party leaders seem intent on taking unilateral action. The rest of the state be damned. This latest public initiative, for example, was filed by about 4% of state voters. 4%. That's the number of people who fill the University of Michigan's football stadium in its first three games of the season. Hardly a dominating majority, would you say? Yet this uber minority was able to get GOP lawmakers to drive the legislation designed to punish women. Again, I know this all sounds like partisan bashing, but consider this. In 2014 or 2016, the pendulum swings in the state and the Democrats regain control of the legislature, and little people like me start launching petition drives left and right. And trust me, we can get the signatures on issues like raising Michigan's minimum wage to $15 and inserting some kind of appropriations language to prevent a public vote on the issue. Or maybe we'll circulate petitions requiring that every donor to every political action committee be required to identify themselves and then limit donations to $2 per person or other PAC PAC. Oh, let's see, what other things could we do? How about requiring that no truck on Michigan roads be allowed to weigh more than the national average of weight limits in the other 48 contiguous states? And finally, as a piece de resistance, we file petitions making the Michigan legislature, one, unilateral, I can't read it, sorry. One, sorry about that, unicameral, and two, part-time. I'd also eliminate term limits because only those truly dedicated to public service would want to run under these circumstances. My point is that when obscene abuse of power is allowed to continue unchecked, then the people, not just 4% of the people, will take control. And woe to those who have abused their power long enough. Are you listening, Messrs. Somerville, Colbeck, and Richardville? I believe that pendulum is swinging back and the clock is winding down on your party's abuse of power.
Pretty good job. Yeah.
That was a cold read, sorry.
Well, that's what they call it when you're unprepared in radio, folks, a cold read. No, but
Jay's like, here, read this.
You got his, you got the tone there, and the issue about the new rider needed for abortion coverage is absolutely, in my humble opinion, illegal. In fact, it's unfair and illegal, and because if you change your mind at the last minute, well, guess what? And you're already pregnant, one way or the other, you can't get the coverage. So save up your dollars, women all across the state of Michigan, or buy that rider before the 90-day period is up, because there's nothing you can do. Even Snyder, get this, even Snyder didn't even have to sign it. It's just, it's law now unless we do a petition to get it out of there. Although, you say, well, what about the Supreme Court of Michigan? They're all Republicans. Remember? They got elected thanks to the Republican Party machine. They're not going to vote, say it's unconstitutional. They're not. Okay? It doesn't matter what the law is. They want to get reelected. They want the money to get reelected back to the Supreme Court. I know that seems selfish, and would any state Supreme Court judge be that selfish? Yes, it's politics, folks. It's politics. Until we get the judges out of politics, okay, we're stuck with that fact. So that's not going to be, the resolution has to be petition drive. I know the last petition drive was to make sure in Michigan that, what, unions were going to be protected?
Are you talking...
No, what was it that they changed it? They actually, the legislature went back and they reversed the vote of the people as soon as Snyder got in office on this issue. What the heck was it?
Was it the right to work?
Something like that.
Emergency managers?
Yeah, well, emergency managers it was. That's right, yes.
Yeah, the statewide ballot?
We said it had to go back to the first emergency manager law, that the state just can't come in because they say they want to come in. There has to be some proof. There has to be some evidence. Or they have to be requested by the city to come in. That's what the first law said, which is totally eminently fair. But the law we have right now that the people of Michigan voted out said, oh, the state legislature and or the governor, I don't know who it was, but if they say, we think you're in trouble, we're going to take you over totally like a dictatorship.
Right.
Appoint that emergency financial manager with complete tyrannical power.
And as we've seen, for as long as they want, because there's still many cities.
As long as they want. Well, so we said, no, we don't want that. We don't want the state having the right to come in anytime, anywhere, just because they feel like it, and take something over. We don't want that. And then 3 months later, Snyder comes in office as governor. Republicans have the majority. They voted a law that was directly against that. They voted the emergency manager law that we had before, that just, you know, where you can come in anytime you want to, back into existence just 3 months after the people said we don't want that, and then made it petition proof.
Right.
So that the people couldn't vote it out anymore.
Because it was part of...
How can you do that? How can you make something petition proof? What in... You know, so I agree with Craig Foran. And this has to do not so much with Dems and Republicans. This is just procedural stuff. This is just law, as far as I'm concerned. You can't do it this way. And don't get me started on gerrymandering. Okay, that's pretty crazy,
we
too.
We have a few more minutes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Okay, 5 minutes and Highway 61. It's going to be a special blues Christmas show today that Joanne is preparing.
I know you're reading that, but I do want to say one thing. This past Tuesday was the final council meeting in Dearborn for the year, and we saw two people that will no longer be on. And it really, what really surprised me was, you know, Nancy Hubbard stepping down as well as Susan Sereni. Mm-hmm. And according to the press and guide, a Hubbard has been in office in some capacity in Dearborn for the last 71 years. So this will be, in January, will be the first time. And I think it's really interesting. But we just want to wish them well. They did, obviously, 24 years of service to the community. Good job. Thank you. And
Dennis is taking a phone call here. Yeah, it's time, folks. Maybe something else will be coming up here, we started a holiday tradition this year of reading from a book called The 12 Terrors of Christmas, written by John Updike in 1998, and we still got five more little commentaries to go, and boy, oh boy, we're going to do them. And the first one is we're up to number 8 of The 12 Terrors of Christmas. So take notes on this. Maybe you're afraid of these things, too. The Specials, it's entitled, the TV specials. Was Charlie Brown's voice always so plaintive and grating? Did Bing Crosby always have that little potbelly and walk with his toes out? Wasn't that Danny Kaye, Fred Astaire, Jimmy Stewart, Grinch a card? Is Vera Ellen still alive? Isn't there something else on, like wrestling or Easter Parade? Number 9, fear of not giving enough. Leads to dizziness in shopping malls, foot fractures on speeded up escalators, thumb and wrist sprain in the course of package manipulation, eye and facial injuries in carton crowded buses, and fluttering sensations of disorientation and imminent impoverishment. That was number 9, fear of not giving enough. Number 10, fear of not receiving enough. Leads to anxious scanning of UPS deliveries and to identity crisis on Christmas morning as the piles of rumpled wrapping paper and emptied boxes mount higher around every chair but your own. 3 dull neckties and a pair of flannel-lined work gloves. Is this really how they see you? Number 11. Fear of returns. The embarrassments, the unseemly haggling, the lost receipts, the allegations of damaged goods, the humiliating descent into mercantilism's boiler room. Number 12, and finally, of the 12 Terrors of Christmas by John Updike, supposedly the most awful of all, the dark. Oh, how early it comes now. How creepy and green in the gills everyone looks, scrabbling along in drab winter wraps by the phosphorus light of department store windows, full of styrofoam snow, mock-ups of a facetious 1890, and beige mannequins poised with false jauntiness in plaid bathrobes. Is this hell, or just an upturn in consumer confidence? Okay, so there you go. You know, I don't have this year. I've read in the past. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I wonder if I can find it on the internet. I just have time enough. Any other thoughts while I'm getting this ready, Dennis?
No. We'll have silence while you're looking for that. Is that okay? Because that's good radio.
Sure. Right.
No. Hey, you know, there is something that was really
go ahead.
Was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Severstal, of course, the Severstal in Dearborn. They help police by they turn rifles into them. You know, they find these rifles or however they come about them, and they give them to Severstal, who then melts them down. Did you know that?
Wow, sweet. Okay, I'm ready.
That's what I thought. Okay. He's like, if Dennis is just boring enough, I'll find it faster.
Yep. September 21st, 1897, an 8-year-old girl by the name of Virginia O'Hanlon wrote a letter to the editor of New York's Sun, and the quick response was printed as an unsigned editorial on that day. The work, so this is 1897. Okay, dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? And this is the response. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect, as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that he abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poverty, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in the fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus coming down. What would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not. But that's no proof. They are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world. You may tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that have ever lived, could tear apart. Only faith, fancy, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. So it's time to say goodbye on the journal for today. It's WHFR Dearborn. Thank you, Dennis, for being part of the show.
As always, thank you for having me.
We plan on being back next week. Are you traveling coming week?
Nope, I will be here.
The following week, okay.
I'll go see my son after the show.
Oh, well, that's good. All right. Coming up next is Joanne Korchinski on Highway 61. I thought as she approaches the studio, I would just go out with John Lennon's song, Imagine, because maybe we all can.